In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, how's your preparation for Christmas going at home? You got all the lights up outside, you got your tree up, you got decorations throughout the house, manger scene set up there, maybe an Advent wreath. See, some houses have two, three. I even heard one family in our congregation had, I think, four Christmas trees in their house. Now, in our house, the Wright's place, there's a little contention been going for about 23 years almost now, because I'm kind of a minimalist, you know. Nice Christmas tree, as long as it's not in front of the TV, and just, you know, a few decorations are fine. But Mrs. Wright's a little different. Right after Thanksgiving is over and all the Thanksgiving decorations go away, then box after box after box comes out of the storage areas of our house. These things mysteriously appear and stacked up tall, and then it takes 3 whole days to put all this stuff out. Meanwhile, I have to find something to do with myself for 3 days, because if I try to get involved with this, you know, there could be divorce proceedings going on. Because, you know, there's an opinion on how these things go up. No, my beloved wife has some real decorating skills, I think. And they're definitely underappreciated by me. But, you know, the really difficult thing is that whenever some elderly person in my wife's family dies, all their decorations, guess where they go? Oh, Lisa will love these. Let's give it to Jim and Lisa. She decorates so nice. So we just get more and more and more. Well, I guess I'm kind of a Scrooge on that stuff, and I should lighten up. But, you know, she is right that decorating and having these traditions in our house really do serve a great purpose, especially if there's children there, because it is a great opportunity to teach the faith. This is one way that we pass on the mystery of the incarnation, how God becomes a human being in order to work our salvation for us, to pass that on to a new generation. But out in the world, it can be overdone, can it? You know our American world. So much lights and music and tinsel that sometimes you think you're going to go blind and deaf. It's just overwhelming sometimes. Blind and deaf to the real message that should be in our minds this time of year, about God caring enough to come visit us personally in this world. And it's really bad when that Christmas stress comes along, when all of the parties and all of the activities and perhaps the decorating and the programs the kids have to go to and be in, and the visits with relatives and the preparations for people staying with us and the meals and all of this becomes so much that lighting a wreath in your home and arranging a little nativity scene just becomes another chore to be checked off on your list. I say to you tonight, don't let your home be overcome and become seduced by a mere hollow day, that is, hollow meaning empty. But let it be a holiday. And people want us to say happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. And well, so what? What does holiday mean anyway but holy day? And there's one holy day this time of year that we think of, the day what we commemorate the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world. What can be done to protect your home, your little ones, against this materialism, against this gluttony, against this drunkenness, and this excess that has wedged its way in among our little celebration of the greatest mystery the world's ever known? What can be done to protect you from filling up your emptiness with these things rather than with the warmth of the Son of God taking on human form? Isaiah knows. 5 centuries before it took place, before Jesus was born, Isaiah was right. He said, "Prepare the way for the Lord." In the Hebrew, his words mean literally, clear the path, get the obstacles out of the way. And think about that. Is Christ in your home as much as he should be? Is he in your home as much as you want him to be as a Christian? If not, then think about what is blocking his way. What is preventing him from entering in there? What's taking up his space in your home and in your life together with people you love? My house, if I get out of my chair, I have a little dog that jumps up there. And when I come back a minute later, there's that dog, you know. Oh, well, you were sitting here? I'm not moving. A little dog, I think my backside is the warmest place in the house, and he wants to sit where that thing was. But think about it. What's taking Jesus' place in your home? And does that thing offer you anywhere near the blessings, the benefits, and the peace of mind that Jesus Christ offers and can give you? What barricades are there in front of your house that prevent the Lord from entering there? Is it the shows on television that your family watches? You know, sometimes I'm sitting there watching television, just unwinding at night, and something comes on that's really questionable. I look over at my daughter, and she's just looking at it. You know, I'm thinking, I hope she knows better than this. Then I look over, you know, next to her, and I think, if Christ were sitting here, I mean, would he want to watch this kind of stuff? This incessant sex and violence and triviality about important things in life and making fun of the things that we really hold sacred and focusing so much attention on things that are really immoral. Would you invite Jesus to watch those things with you? The internet, is something on the internet coming into your house blocking the way for Christ to come to you and to make your home his home? I heard today that the Illinois legislature is getting ready to debate a bill that would double, and some say triple, the amount of gambling in our state. And I thought the job of government was to protect families from things that would hurt them. I mean, certainly know that people get addicted to gambling and throw away all of their money on that. That should go to put clothes on the children and food on the table and pay for mortgages and provide transportation and education. Now the government was supposed to protect families. And we're so goofed up today that we think that this is going to help our families somehow by providing more money or lower our taxes. This is just evidence, though, of really what's going on. And it's an all-out assault on your home, on your family. Now, it's not declared. It's not a declared war. But it's out there. You know, there's a battle going on to get couples to move further and further apart in their lives together, to alienate children from their parents and call that independence, and really ultimately alienate them from their God. We've got to recognize it before your loved ones are carried off as casualties of this undeclared war. Well, how do we do that? Well, I don't think we should shut the door of our house and barricade ourselves inside from society around us. Instead, as the psalm says, lift up your heads, O mighty gates. Open the door for the Lord to come to your house, and not just all this meaningless stuff. But take time. Take time to deliberately prepare the way for the Lord to come into your home, to be the center of your home, to direct your relationships with one another, your role, whatever it is father or mother, husband or wife, son or daughter, brother or sister. Learn from the Lord and see how he would inform how to live together and how to serve together. Take time to prepare for him to come. Clear that path and take any obstacle out of the way. For families with children, it's especially important, and this is a great time, the season of Advent and Christmas, to do this. It's all designed for it, if you really look carefully. You think about the opportunities we have. You know, we have all these family traditions, and some of them are similar, but each family has different things they do in Advent and Christmas. Take time to explain the traditions that you have. If you have a Christmas tree, talk about that with your kids. What is that Christmas tree there for? Why is it a green evergreen? And what are the lights on there for? You know, sometimes we think about the green of eternal life and the light of Christ come into the world. And what are the stars for? What are the ornaments? Sometimes we have family ornaments. You know, when children are born, we have an ornament for that year. Talk about those things and how precious they were when they were born, but also how precious that child is to God and how God has a plan for that child's life. We think also, too, of the manger scene, you know, rather than a chore, getting that thing out. Some families, what they do with the manger scene is they don't put it out all at once, but they have the children each week or maybe each day when they have a little devotion and prayer. The child brings that thing out, that new character, and sets it out. Maybe we read the passage from the Bible that introduces that character, whether it be a shepherd or an angel or Mary or Joseph, until that Christmas Eve or Christmas Day when the baby is brought and laid in that manger. Take time and explain these things to your children and ask them to explain it to you. You might be surprised. Sometimes we light Advent wreaths in the home, but letting the children participate is an important way to impress on them the meaning of Christ and of Christmas. But I think above all, throughout the year, to have a time for prayer, for scripture reading, whatever you call it, devotion, family time. And there's no better time to do that than now, because the children are just so excited about this coming festival that we're going to have, this day of Christmas. It's the time to begin that anew in your family, that time for prayer, because you are the best teacher. No better teacher will there ever be in the Christian faith than a mother or father. And it is important to keep those Christmas presents in their place. Nothing wrong with presents. But if we listen to the retailers, you'd think that that's all there is. And there is so much more to celebrate. Make every effort to show one another the love of God in giving Jesus is the greatest gift. Now, you couples, you may not have children. Your children may be grown. Take time to commit yourselves to reading scripture and praying together in this season of Advent and Christmas. And you single people, well, the same for you. Devote yourself to an extra reading of scripture and prayer. But I encourage you also to seek out service. Find someone who needs help that you can offer. Maybe it's very simple, or maybe it's something that God has blessed you with skills or abilities to do. Seek to find a way to offer that service to someone who needs it. As Jesus said, whenever you have helped one of the least of these, your brothers, you have done that good thing for me. And all of us, it is time to commit ourselves to the Word of God once again. As our catechism says, God's name is hallowed and kept holy when the word of God is taught in its truth and its purity, and we as the people of God live holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. Those good works that God has prepared for us to do in advance in our lives. Find out what those things are. Come to church, yes. But take the word of God with you wherever you go, especially in your home. You know, when doctors come upon someone in the hospital and they have to heal that person, they go through a process, I understand. There are examinations that take place. There are tests that are run, extensive tests. There's a diagnosis that is reached. What is the problem? And then there is a treatment or a surgery that is prescribed. These are life and death decisions that have to be made in the life of each patient in order to bring healing. But there is an even greater life and death decision that has to be made in your home each day. You may not think of it that way, because it's there every day, as long as you are together as a family. But that is, how are we going to serve the Lord here together in our home? How are we going to prepare the way today for the Lord to come into this dwelling? People's eternal lives are at stake in your home. That certainly is a great life and death situation. Your own eternity is at stake. Prepare the way for the Lord to come to you. Take time to prepare the way for the Lord to come to your home. In the name of Jesus, our coming King, amen.